This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Welcome back to the Nutramedical Report, hour number three, and this is when we bring in Gary Richard Arnold, who's an expert on the dark deep state and the globalists. And I want to start it off with a very nasty source of information I have from a very reliable source. Apparently, and I need to read this to you so you'll understand just how nasty this was. One of the things that's a recent story is the idea that there was a missile fired from North Korea that was heading toward Hawaii, and it was, quote, a false missile alert. But actually, I've been able to cross-check to see what kind of missile alert system fail-safe they have in Hawaii. And they have five fail-safe procedures in the Hawaiian Emergency Alert Management System, last being a two-key system such as a president of U.S. missile silos. And my friend Colonel Lynn Wills actually showed me their old missile silo system at the NORAD and at U.S. Missile Defense Command. So I know more than most people even working in the military unless you had classified access, which I had above top secret. And U.S. missile silos and U.S. nuclear missile submarines, the two keys 8 feet apart, require two different individuals to simultaneously and possibly trigger the alert. So what I have from my sources, and I have a menu of several nations that may be candidates that fired this missile. First thing I can say, it was not North Korean. The most highest on the list of possibles was that it was an Israeli missile. The Israeli subs, by the way, made in Germany. Secondly, that it may have been from another source, including our own missiles, with someone in the deep state firing it. But it was destroyed by our anti-missile systems, and it may not have been carrying a warhead, but there was a missile fired toward Hawaii. This was not just a fake. Now, I don't have anything more yet, but I have from a very reliable source that the missile fail-safe system in Hawaii, it has multiple layers on it, so this just wasn't some idiot pressing a button twice. Okay, in other words, are you sure? And then pressing the button again? No, that's BS. Okay, so you need to get that. So I want to launch then into the other things that go right back to the Civil War and President Abraham Lincoln. And let's get into some of these things because people don't understand the deep state goes back a long time, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. And you look at the damage of the Civil War, how huge it was with, 600,000 people being killed and, twice that, being crippled for the rest of their life. And the fact that back then, the reason for the Civil War that we're promoted now and what got me looking over my old notes was the fact of Martin Luther King's Day and different people showing up on the radio and some bragging about how wonderful Lincoln was with his Proclamation Act. And, of course, his Proclamation Act is the biggest fraud, and the fact that they've issued stamps with it and everything else. I mean, the Emancipation Act, which was January 1st, 1863, was one designed to cause slave uprisings in areas where a lot of the men were already gathered to defend their states. And Lincoln's proclamation did not affect any of the slaves where the North had their Union troops. So even in places like Tennessee, where they were occupying the South, those slaves were not free, nor were they in any of the northern states. And the soldiers, they, when they were conscripted for the North, they could buy their way out of it for $300. And actually, the proclamation caused the defection of almost 200,000 of the Northern Union troops to desert, and many of them fled to Canada. And that's documented in by Harvard Press. Gary Gallagher in 1977 has the documents on that. But to Tocqueville, when he visited the United States, he said that the racism was worse in the northern states than it was in the south. So all the baloney that, you know, the Civil War was about, you know, slavery is ridiculous.
Well, and in fact, Abraham Lincoln himself had slaves. So this idea that it was a slave issue is garbage. And actually, I have really good sources of reports that the life of the blacks that lived in these plantations deteriorated significantly. We became free and had to go to factories in the North or elsewhere. That, in fact, there was a lot more starvation, devastation, and family destruction after the so-called Civil War than before. And these industrial factories chewed up people like cannon fodder and destroyed them. So, you know, a lot of the stuff that's been put out there is pure garbage. We have to understand also,
like, you know, a lot of the judges we talked about last week, you know, they come and they're supported by these huge billionaire foundations. Lincoln's top client during the 1850s was the largest railroad in the world, and that was the Illinois Central Railroad. And he was getting three times what the governor got in Illinois. And his mentor was Henry Clay, who founded the American Colonization Society. So back in 1857, he urged his colleagues to appropriate money to remove all the free blacks from the state of Illinois. And then, in his speech of February 27, 1860, he calls for the peaceful deportation of blacks so that their places could be filled up by white laborers, unquote. And when you get him at his first inaugural address, he says, "I have no," and this is his quote.
You're referring to Abraham Lincoln.
Yeah, this is Abraham Lincoln.
Right.
This isn't Jefferson Davis or anybody, you know, from the South. And he says, "I have no purpose directly or indirectly to interfere with the institution of slavery in the states where it exists." And, you know, of course, there was the other group, like there are secret societies today. There was the Union League. And the Union League were mostly in the North. They were in, like, New York and Pennsylvania. But what they did when they met, they had, you know, these nights and, you know, meetings at night with elaborate ceremonies, rituals, secret passwords, solemn oaths, and dramatic initiation rites. And it was funded by Lloyd Garrison. They were bankrolled, and they advocated, you know, the military occupation of the South in addition. But even while this was going on, Karl Marx, this is Karl Marx's quote. He says, "Lincoln is a single-minded son of the working class who has led the country to the matchless struggle for the rescue of the communist revolution and the reconstruction of the social order," unquote.
So in other words, Karl Marx is calling Abraham Lincoln as a communist.
Yeah. Well, see.
I have some sources that Abraham Lincoln had some what I call direct connections, indirect connections with the Rothschilds. And then, in fact, he was acting as a proxy of the British who were trying to take back over America. And they did it numerous times to set up banks and do other things. But Abraham Lincoln and the split was because the South was very wealthy. It had plantations, had lots of money from cotton and other things there that they were selling. And as a result, the North became jealous. They had a big industrial base there. But the situation was that a lot of this was actually the British trying to take back over the territory of America, wasn't it?
Yeah, and they also, there was a group out of Canada also that was supporting the South in order to, you know, aggravate, you know.
Well, the Canadian Masonic organizations were working as proxies of the British.
And if people know history, you look back at Europe during the 1848, there were revolutions that were all over Europe. And because of our war, the federal army had only about 15,000 soldiers in 1861. So they recruited about 4,000 European military fighters that were involved in those various revolutions.
You're referring to the Hessians, right? The German fighters, right? The Hessians, right?
And, you know, fought in 1848 European wars as communist revolutionaries.
Right, you're referring to, like, the Hessian warriors that were proxies brought in from Germany, right?
Yeah, and they, you know, these were socialists and Marxists that filled the Union command.
Wow. Isn't that interesting? Lesson here with Gary Richard Arnold. It'll be all posted up on Deagle-Network later. We also should do some video sometime. Put together either some documents or PowerPoints because people need to understand the history. There's some things happening now even during the Trump administration that gives me concern. New FBI director and his kind of attitude toward use of metadata. The idea of the FISA court, which is also this FISA rules that are going on with the intel agencies that are abusing right now, and they literally both Congress and Senate, and this is bipartisan, both parties have pushed forward to authorize FISA to continue their invasion of people's privacy. This happened during Abraham Lincoln, where habeas corpus and other rules were suspended, and they actually gave them basically a pass on any criminal activity, including rape and murder, they did during with defenseless people during the war. So people need to start understanding that when you have Karl Marx giving approbations to Abraham Lincoln, he wasn't the anti-slave guy we think. He had slaves himself. In fact, there's some pretty good evidence Abraham Lincoln was actually had blood descent from the globalists who were running the place, including the Rothschilds and Rockefellers, other people, those affiliates, are all in these little clique of families that actually runs it. He was an attorney for the largest railway in the world in Illinois, wasn't he?
Yeah, it was the Illinois Central Railroad. So it was naturally, you know, from there. With Dade being his biggest client, he was on the feed chain, and he was molded to be an asset of theirs, as we see with people today like the Panettas and Clintons and other people that are in Obama and so forth.
Right.
That are picked up and serve their masters well. But as I mentioned, I'm not sure if this got on the air or not, but the British were able to end slavery throughout their whole empire, and it only took them about 6 years.
And it was done peacefully, too. It wasn't done through a vile war that killed 750,000 Americans and disabled 1.5 million who were permanently disabled to the end of their life.
And they compensated many of those orders at a 40% asset rate, but when you look at the cost of the Civil War, with the, you know, million crippled and the, you know, 620,000 dead and 40% of the nation's economy destroyed, I mean, it would have cost a fraction of what the Civil War cost us to do it.
Why do you think they did it? Because obviously, what you see happening geopolitically now with the balkanization, starting with Bill Clinton, they continued with George Bush Jr., continued with the 9/11, which was a all set up. It was a controlled demolition of the World Trade Center towers and a false modus to go to war in Iraq. Again, more foolishness. And then, of course, the stealing of trillions of dollars of money went under the Pentagon that were not under congressional Senate monitoring, and the start of the police state. The Patriot Act 1 was being written for years before 9/11 even happened. People need to know there was a battalion of attorneys working on this years before they brought out the Patriot Act, and Patriot Act 2 was brought in pieces during the George Bush administration. The National ID was passed during George Bush, and they didn't mention a word of it during Obama, and by 2020, which is 2 years from now, this is literally the template for the Mark of the Beast here in America, and Trump or none of his advisors are talking about it. They're giving, now I do agree they need to give more power to the generals, but when you have a general that's calling for an air attack with missiles against Syria where there's no proof that the Syrian government attacked their own people with chemical weapons, this is pure foolishness. And when I have the insertion of comments by Ivanka, Trump's daughter, who is clearly out of place making this, she's not elected, she has a lot of chutzpah to do this, and she says these things that actually can inflame the situation. Luckily, Trump had enough sense to not follow that missile attack with a large contingent of military force being brought into Syria. Otherwise, we would be immediately at a war with Russia. And this is going to blow up. And the problem right now is we have the not only Hezbollah that the Saudi Arabians and the Qataris are pushing to, so they can have a war footing, but we're backing it. And we're actually backing the idea that we may eventually go to a military conflict with Iran, which immediately put us into war footing with Russia. This is not wise, is it?
No. See, the same enemy that Karl Marx had as he was codifying, you know, his Communist Manifesto, his enemy was the bourgeoisie. It wasn't the owners of industry, although they used that in their fraud. But that's the same reason why these people supported Lincoln. Because what was happening was that the entrepreneurs, the individuals from New England and the South, were moving west. They were very opposed to the Louisiana Purchase because they thought that that would enable too many of these people that would get out of their control. And as people moved to the west, they didn't have a lock on it as they wanted. But the Civil War gave them the excuse to impose this, you know, total control of the media. I mean, he jailed judges and congressmen. He had some of them kidnapped. He had 13,000 prisoners in one place in New York. It was outrageous, and he made it a criminal act to prosecute either the president, the cabinet, or the military. They were all above the law.
Yeah, that's really pretty disturbing. Now, the parallels with what's going on with Trump is Trump himself, I think, is his own man, but he's surrounded by a lot of advisors that have the Pope and speed dial, and they're globalists, including his daughter, Ivanka, and his son-in-law, Kushner. And many of his financial people are globalists, too, aren't they?
Yep. Oh, yeah. No, he's in fact, I'm sure you've seen those charts out there. You'll see one or two on my website.
What is your website?
After administration from Carter and Reagan.
What's your website address so people know how to log in and get more info?
Yeah, that's news, and then it's -expose.org. Newsexpose.org.
News, that's a little dash sign, expose.org.
Right.
News-expose.org.
Documents, they'll find a number of newspaper tabloids have been used over the years, and they'll find usually the center spread or the unfolded page with that distribution of CFR people in Trilat and Bilderbergers inside both the military, the media, the banks, and certainly the cabinet. They usually name the members.
And even authors, for example, the authors of Britain over the last 100-plus years have actually authored sci-fi things like, you know, 1984 and the time Machine and so on. Many of these are actually timelining out sci-fi to actually template what the future they want to create, isn't it?
Absolutely. You can go back to Woodrow Wilson's buddy, Colonel House. He wrote a fiction novel called Philip Drew Administrator. It goes into the North American Union and all the, you know, all the finagling and crazy manipulation. And what was set up after that was the Center for the Study of Democratic Institutions in Santa Barbara. And it was done, Rex Tugwell and McGeorge Bundy funded it from the Fund for the Republic. It was a split off of Ford. And McGeorge Bundy is a member of Skull and Bones. Again, going back to these secret societies with rituals and so forth, it was used by the Union League that created the military occupation of the South. And, of course, they were promising to the blacks and so forth the free land. The John Brown was supported by a number of Unitarian ministers and so forth from the North. And, of course, that incident scared the hell out of the South because they could see the North, you know, financing and arming, you know, the slaves. In fact, this Union League advocated and promised both the free land and arms to the slaves. So, I mean, that's kind of a...
Yeah, divide and conquer, right?
That's...
You mentioned, Gary, I want you to repeat that, and I want people to understand the moves toward globalism going on over centuries. This is 150 years ago, and people need to know that even the Voynich document printed by Sir Francis Bacon, the illegitimate son of Queen Victoria I, 500 years ago, was looking at this as a new Atlantis, and their idea was to have, and I'd like the term on for the United Nations, it means the on nations. They don't want borders. That's why the Democrats don't want borders. They want they're hell bent on having a quote clean DACA bill because they don't just want DACA one, they want DACA 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. They don't want anything. They have an immigration bill that has parent based immigration. We doesn't care what nationality you come. We want people with skill sets, drive, and want to make America great again that aren't criminals and do have skill sets. It doesn't have to be high tech. They can be a great welder or a great person doing whatever skill set they have. But we want people to make America great again. It doesn't matter what your race is. We're not racist. But we have to understand there are countries that have run into the ground. And I don't believe Trump made that exact statement that people read around him at that meeting last week. What I do think is we have to understand we can't be like the bottom of the sewer where people from desperate countries come here because their ecology or the economy is crashing, and we take everybody in like Norway, who I saw a Muslim Iranian gentleman who actually made the bold and actual honest statement that Sweden can't tolerate taking in more people. In fact, he said the number of people we've taken in would be equivalent to America importing 9 million people per year into America, which we can't absorb. It's craziness, especially if it's not designated based on merit. It's based on chain migration or a lottery. And believe it or not, this is the kind of globalism that was going on during Abraham Lincoln. It's amazing how people forget this. They forget, for example, that the systems that were set up under the Democrats were vile over 100 years ago. And that, in fact, they try to pretend they're the protector of the people. Or these rhino Republicans, they're globalists, like George Bush Sr. And again, they go to Bohemian Grove. They make deals between cross parties. It's really, I call it the Uniparty. It's not Democrats or Republicans. It's the globalist American elite that are collaborating with Britain and the United Nations and these globalist druidic satanic overlords and high-level masons that are literally trying to create a borderless world where they're in control, isn't it?
Well, they purposely made, you know, the Democrats angry and mean, just like they made these Republicans. Again, this Union League, you know, they selected the black delegates for the Republican conventions for, the, you know, the southern states. They entertained them and hosted them and paid their expenses. And they replaced the South, and they maintained a military dictatorship there for 12 years after. They kept seizing lands from the people in the South. They weren't allowed to vote. They weren't allowed to run for office. They continually took land from them. They gave them death threats, and murder was not uncommon. They persuaded the wives and girlfriends to turn against anybody that participated for the South in the war. It was outrageous, but this comes from this Union League that's supposed to be holier than thou, and so the South did have to resort to some type of defense, and so what rose was the KKK and the Knights of the Red Camellia and other things, because you're not just going to sit there for a decade and continually be crushed and have your government run by people that are feasting and having parties and stealing property. It's just as if it were in Eastern Europe. These guys were outrageous.
Well, they're doing the same thing with the Bureau of Land Management, which got reviewed by the Supreme Court, and the Bundy family were taken off the hook. We have a situation where a lot of the policies brought in by Barack Obama, especially at the end of his term, whether it's net neutrality or other things, these policies are really dangerous to the individual. And a lot of policies are being put in place even during Trump, including the new FBI director and use of metadata, the idea of the FISA court just getting a blank check. And this is, by the way, bipartisan, so it's not just Republicans or Democrats. They're not putting any restraint on them. And even with the tax bill.
Listen to this. This is like Antifa. It says the radical sponsors from the Union League had memberships as high as 80,000 in South Carolina alone. The radical governor, W.W. Holden, many of the clubs converted to military companies and drilled day and night on the roads. A quarter of them carried muskets, pistols, and bowie knives. In addition to free land, the Union speakers promised them all arms. So this is kind of what we see
with Antifa,
with the Black Lives Matter and all this other type of stuff, creating the hate, which, you know, should not be there. But once violence breaks out, it could happen as bad as the Civil War. And this divide and conquer has been done by these bastards, you know, ever since. And we just need to put the light on them while the iron's hot, while it's going on. And
Well, a new world order can't have a strong America with a Christian and Judeo-Christian background and constitutional rights from come from our Creator. It can't. The globalist has to destroy America, or they can't have a borderless world where they have a borderless Europe and a totalitarian regimes which have full rights to do whatever the hell they please, including in China, where they've created the police state and the matrix, where basically your social media determines even if you get a job. People need to understand the laboratory of different nations is all different tests by the globalists to see how much they can push the human race into a cage, whether it's a cybernetic, electronic, or financial cage, or a cage where they're going to... I'm just reading an article from Drudge about what they need to do, which is a universal flu vaccine. These people are idiots. Flu vaccines only create antibodies. They usually create cross-reacting antibodies, and the adjuvants always create autoimmunity. And the problem is they think if they get some universal vaccine, they're going to stop the flu. This is craziness. Just like the vaccine against the malaria is useless.
Time or within a very few generations, these guys, you know, it's evil. It is the root evil, and they're lying to you. And
right, and they're lying to you while the flu is killing people. For example, this flu is killing young people because you don't even get necessarily a cough until they get a serious infection in their lower lobes of their lung. This is very akin to the 1918 flu that killed my grandmother's brother and sister 100 years ago. People need to know this is by design. And they'll tell doctors and patients to still take the flu shot. Everybody, every article on Drudge and elsewhere is take the flu shot. And in fact, you see more and more of these people who have had the flu shot didn't do a damn thing to protect them. If they had our nutraceuticals, they would have been fine. The fact is, public health, they should be wearing a mask when they're in public if they're coughing. They should use defense wipes to wipe down surfaces that will kill viruses. Soap won't. They should be using nutraceuticals to prevent the receptor binding domain from being attacked. But again, it's the same thing with everything, whether it's energy distribution with a non-distributed power grid so we have backup power. It's the idea of our economy based on allowing our business to be shipped overseas and not training our young people to be techs. They're trained in university to use stupid skills to say, after they get their sociology degree, will that be fries with your burger? It's ridiculous, isn't it?
Well, they don't have to take us to any camps. They've got the grid already laid out. We've got the spy meters that can be triangulated. The report I've got...
To your cell phone. To your cell phone, right?
Yeah, your cell phone, your TV.
Well, you know what's coming in the next 5 to 7 years is a brain interface technology. And actually, if you go to Halo, you can actually get the brain interface. If you have an MD Athlon chip, either an 18 or 32-bit chip, you can control your computer now with thought. And what they wanted in 5 to 7 years is bidirectionality, so they know exactly not only where you are from your cell phone and your chip, they use smart dust and so on to know where your chip is because of a longer reader distance, and then be able to track every action you take. And if they have the combination of blockchain as cryptocurrencies combined with biometrics, you're in the matrix. You've got the mark of the beast.
The prediction of Trump getting a heart attack is outrageous. I remember from the church committee.
Well, why would they even make statements like that? What kind of health professional or pseudo-health professional would be such an ass to actually make a statement like that when they don't know the man's health, they haven't seen his cardiac scan, they haven't seen his treadmill test, they don't know what his dyslipidemia is. He is taking cholesterol-lowering drug, which I wouldn't recommend because it'll cause myelination, lower CoQ10. But when his doctor says he's in great health and he sleeps 5 hours a night, except the fact that hypomanic people run the world. That's why the Fortune 500 company have people that sleep 5 hours a night. That's just, they have performance-enhancing genetics. Okay, they don't need to take methamphetamine. Back in a moment with more from Gary Richard Arnold. Crazy stuff going on. This is a year of what I call black swan events, and I'm going to predict a few this year. I expect a horrible gyration of the economy, geoclimatic disasters, and welcome back. So, Gary, let's continue. So let's summarize. I'm going to list a few black swan events. I want to see if you're now, what your analysis of it fits. Firstly, they predict that there are 8 major earthquakes around the world last year. They predict 20 this year. We're moving into a formal Mondor ice age, which means we're going to get massive cooling, extreme weather, and the movement, gyrations of weather, there'll be extremes hot and cold. But in the meantime, the general move is toward a mini ice age, where 360 years ago, there was 5 feet of ice on the Thames River, and they had parties out there. But people need to understand, there were Eskimos coming down to North Scotland because of the last ice age, forced them along their routes for fishing and so on, to all the way to Scotland. People need to understand what's going on now, is we have geoclimatic disasters. We're at risk of a coronal mass ejection during a solar minimum. We're in danger of a hacking into the power grid system with a smart grid. We're in danger of EMP weapon attacks from North Korea, Venezuela, and Iran. We're in danger. By the way, they've been doing work in Iran for 30 years on this, trying to create EMP weapon systems. They've been testing out there. We're in danger of a trade war with China, because right now China's not playing fair ball, and they haven't been for years. They've been manipulating their currency. They say they're changing that, but if you have a corporation and you're American or European, you can't own more than 49% of your company is set up in China, and you have to give them all your technology. China's not playing fair ball, and we can get them to play fair ball if we want to be hardball with them, but we allow China and Russia to provide targeting systems and missile guidance systems to North Korea, because the Russia and Chinese and their affiliates are literally keeping this bad dog of North Korea in operation. Remember, North Korea used to be a satellite of the Soviet Union. It's one of the last kind of remaining satellites. And the Chinese do not want to have an American ally, a unified Korea, just on the other side of the Yulan River.
Yeah, well, the Chinese have penetrated California, for decades. We can go way back to when Matt Fong was running for U.S. Senator, and we had a local guy running for state senator, and they're receiving tens of thousands of dollars from a red Chinese triple agent. Her picture was on the page of U.S. News and World Report back then. But even today, with the Silicon Valley and the all the ports around here with the Chinese influence, I remember them being welcomed down into Long Beach, and of course they're at both ends of the Panama Canal. It's frightening the amount of influence they have, and it stays covert. The media.
Well, they have a policy of, if you can plunk down $250,000, $500,000. You can come in from communist China, and there's a tremendous migration into Santa Rosa County and other places of communist Chinese. People need to know this.
Right. And there's more babies being born here now from China than from Mexico. And so.
Right. Most people don't realize there's more people coming in from Asian countries than from Central and South America and Mexico. And 80% of the people even coming across the southern border are not Mexican. 80-85% are below the Mexican border in Guatemala, San Salvador, et cetera. There are other places.
Absolutely. No, they get exported up to the border real quick, and they move through with the...
They allow them to move through. They don't even want them to stop there, because they're going to throw their butt on the other side of the Mexican border in Guatemala, or they're going to throw them into prison. So people know that the Mexicans don't put up with this garbage, but they want us to.
Here's another thing that parallels our time. This is when, after Lincoln was shot, and the radicals didn't like the vice president that much because they wanted to put the screws even more so to the South. And what they did, according to this author here, they went after him. They said, offer him a bushel full of money. They wanted the Senate. The House had already impeached President Johnson, who followed Lincoln, and they needed the Senate to okay it. And they were attempting to buy him with, it says here, bushels of money. They attempted a smear campaign. It said more popular than bribery was a season of intimidation. It says they conducted searches for a thread of blackmail material anywhere in their lives. The Union League clubs deluged wavering senators with threatening telegrams coming from all across the country. So this is kind of like what we do see today under the organized group called Indivisible. People should be familiar with that. They should actually join a local one so that they can have a heads up of activity that might occur in your area or your friends or relatives. But subscribe to some of the anti-Trump organizations so that you can have a heads up to either defeat, talk against, or protect your life from actions that are calculated to take down the United States.
Yeah, because they're working on it, aren't they?
They are. Also, we saw the most wealthy congressman in the United States, which is Daryl Issa from California. He's not going to run for re-election. And he's a prominent member of Rockefeller's Rip-On Society. And I've seen a couple other Rip-On characters also announce their retirement. So,
and what does that mean, Rip-On? What does that, Rip-On or Rip-Off? Is that, I'm just kidding.
Actually, it's R-I-P-O-N for people that are looking it up. But
yeah.
It was set up for Nelson Rockefeller's attempted presidential nomination, and it exists today.
Really?
And they're very powerful. I think there's four or five members in the state of California, including Kevin McCarthy, who's right up high in the leadership. You'll usually see his face around close to Paul Ryan's, during the photo ops. But he was the one that interrupted Trump on the on that meeting they had on the immigration. But these guys, you know, I think some of them also may fear, my hope is, that they're resigning because they're connected to the attempted coup, and maybe they figure it's better to back away.
You think that Daryl Issa is connected to the coup against Trump, you mean?
Yeah.
Well, what does Rip-On stand for? What does the Rip-On Society? Give us some input.
It's named after a town in Illinois, and it was a liberal break off of the Republican Party that wanted to make sure that Nelson Rockefeller was nominated and Barry Goldwater was defeated. And this was after, and they patterned their program just after the book I mentioned earlier, Philip Drew Administrator by Colonel House. Nelson Rockefeller wrote a book called The New Federalism. The New Federalism is a world federal government, just like Ronald Reagan had proposed with his United World Federalist. So most of these people are connected very closely from their roots. It's only what the media puts out there that spreads them across the political spectrum that us common folks fight about, whether a person's Republican or Democrat. They don't see the strings and the staging that's going on. It really is no different than when we pick up a book, fiction, or watch something on television. Those characters are created and made to keep us interested and have some type of vested identification with one character or another. And they don't care who, as long as they know which way you're going to go. And
right.
All their psychology and testing and propagandizing, they can pretty well direct the ship of state. As I mentioned before, I think the description fits. If you've got a sail ship going from San Francisco to Japan, you don't care which way the winds are blowing. You just lower and raise various sails so you can tack back and forth to get to your goal. And so they're using us against each other by using selected media and compartmentalized information so we never get out of our box to stop the nonsense and think for ourselves.
Wow. That's pretty scary, isn't it?
Yeah, and we're all, we're all boxed in with,
Well,
the
boxes are multiple boxes. Again, the black swan events that I mentioned, I expect geoclimatic, ice age weather. I expect earthquakes and volcanoes, and I expect the stock market that was going up like a rocket. We've got the bond market problem. We've got commercial real estate bomb ready to go off. It's bigger than 2008-09. I think this is going to be a very rocky year. If we don't make a deal in the Belt and Road and with China that actually gets reciprocal trade, we're going to have a trade war, and the economy If it blows before the election in November, Trump and the Republicans will lose, and the Democrats and Rhino Republicans will try to take over, and if they can, they'll try to impeach Trump. That's what I see. It's going to be a very rocky road toward 2019, isn't it?
Yeah, and they don't care who's in charge as long as it's a dictator.
Right, as long as it's the globalist dictators and the Druidic Council that runs everything, basically Luciferianism at its worst. How's that?
Yeah, this is what they did in Rhodesia or South Africa.
Exactly.
I don't care what happens.